Hey there, you at home. Let me ask you something. What are you wearing right now? A burlap sack? A bunch of socks you stapled together to look like a scarf? Corduroys? No, you can do better. You can do so much better, because there is a better option out there, and that option is Mack Weldon.
Mack Weldon is awesome. I love Mack Weldon, Dan. Let me tell you this. I got some clothes from Mack Weldon recently, and their website was so easy. It was the shopping experience on the Mack Weldon website was amazing. It was, you know, not only was it easy to acquire these on the internet, but the clothes are awesome. They're smart design, premium fabrics. MackWeldon.com is the place to go. So go to MackWeldon.com.
And one thing I really enjoy about them, their products are naturally antimicrobial, which means no odor. And as you may know, you know, I worry about whether or not my clothes smell good because I can't tell. But they take that out of the equation.
Dan doesn't have a sense of smell, but you know what? I do. And when we're in this hot recording studio,
it is genuinely toasty.
It gets pretty toasty. It's pretty toasty right now. And I'm glad Dan has Mack Weldon to wear because they eliminate odor.
Otherwise, hoo boy.
Well,
all bets are off.
And here's the thing, too, though, is they're very comfortable. Like, I got some socks and I got some sweatpants and I got a shirt. I got a lot of clothes from Mack Weldon, and they're all very comfortable. I enjoy them. But here's the thing. They want you to be comfortable, too. So if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will still refund you. No questions asked.
And not only do Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well, too. So whether you're working out or going to work, going on a date, whatever, they will get the job done. And they are sponsoring today's episode.
Yes.
So as such, we have a 20% off promo code for
Boom.
You.
20%.
That's right. That's 20% more off than you had originally.
Yeah.
So head to MackWeldon.com, use the promo code TWL at checkout to get 20% off your order. I guarantee you will have a good time. You will feel good. You will look good. And if not, well... Send me your clothes. I will wear them.
Yeah, I'll wear them, even if they're too small for me, because I've been working out and I want to look like a superhero.
I want to Hulk out.
I want to Hulk out in
clothes. I did that once with a children's, like, medium shirt when I like was at my, like, beefiest, and it was great.
That's great.
Oh, man. But I would never do that to a Mack Weldon shirt because I don't think I could ever get that ripped.
You'd be too comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to damage it.
MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using the promo code TWL. Mack Weldon's, they're stylish, and the website is very easy to use. And, you know, when you're wearing Mack Weldon and your friend isn't, you get to say to them, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now.
And they're going to be like, I thought we were friends.
And then you're going to be like, well, go to MackWeldon.com and use the promo code TWL to get 20% off.
Wow, I guess we are friends.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey! Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Today We Learned. I'm your host, Dan, and I'm your host, Razzle. Wow, it's like this hive mind is really, really paying off in spades. I love Huckabees. What did you say? Anyway, guys, we got a great show for you today. Our guest is in traffic right now. We're going to see if he makes it in time.
Yeah, hopefully, he's on
We're not going to tell you his name now. No. You know what we're going to do? We'll tell you. I don't want to ruin the surprise. What we'll do is tell you his name at the very end of the podcast. So,
or maybe we'll label it in the title of the episode. But
yeah, exactly. Just Photoshop him in, because that's what podcasts love is Photoshop. But yeah, guys, we're not going to beat around the bush.
No, this
too
is
long.
A great episode.
Got a good sode for you. A
lot of fun facts.
Yeah, these facts are some of our funnest. Well,
a lot of fun facts and super random.
It's, it's freewheeling, free balling.
Hey, if you guys have ever
free birding,
if you guys have ever done lots of sugar.
Yeah, if you guys have ever had a rail of Colombian uncut sugar.
If you guys ever had an experience of ADD and blue link clicking where you just go from topic to topic, this is a fun random episode.
If you went down a wiki K-hole, you know what this is.
Yeah.
Get ready for it, guys. Without further ado,
today we learn number 124.
Four? I think it's 124.
I think it's 124.
I would bet my firstborn son that it's 124. As it turns out, it is 124 with us.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome, welcome, and welcome back to Today We Learned on a very special Leap Day edition.
It is Leap Day. Holy shit, I forgot. Right? I didn't even do the math ahead of time.
Oh, man.
It's Leap Day. I hope you got some Leap Day facts, because I don't.
Don't worry. They'll be coming in due time.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
We got to wait 4 more years.
Yeah, you got to wait 4 more years for the Leap Day facts. Guys, we'll get you on the next one.
We'll get you on the next go-around.
Razzle, how are you doing today?
Hey, Dan, I'm doing great, because it's a leap day,
and I
forgot it's a leap day.
And that's one extra day that we don't have to pay our rent.
Hey,
and
that is so true.
A great thing.
It gives me an extra day to put money into my bank account.
Yeah, it gives me an extra day to dig up my gold that I buried out in the desert and melt it down into coins and then mail those coins
to my landlord. I'll tell you what I'm doing when I get off of this podcast is I'm going around with a shopping cart to get cans and recyclables.
Oh, yeah?
To take them back to pay my rent.
See, I was going to go around with a shopping cart and just race down the aisles of the local Ralphs.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's like sort of like a...
When we're done both doing that, let's take our shopping carts up to the top of a hill and race down the hill.
You're on. I've been practicing by watching YouTube videos of Jackass.
Hey, Jackass, make another movie, please.
Yeah, right? Oh, that 3D one, I got to say, that 3D one was excellent.
Brilliant.
Like
best use of 3D I've seen.
Like the slow-mo punching in the face. Guys, I don't care. That belongs on Criterion. I don't care how highbrow you think you are.
Listen.
If you can't appreciate a slow motion punch to the face, I don't want to know you.
No. You're blocked if you don't like that stuff.
I'll block you in real life.
I will block you in real life. I'll put my hater blockers on and not be able to see you because it's dark. And my sunglasses are really dark and it's pretty. The lights aren't on inside, so I can't see you.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
That's pretty dark.
That's
like
dark.
A child's death. That's
like
really
child's
dark.
That's really dark. It's like if you murdered a child and buried him under more dead children.
Mm. Oh my.
This Leap Day podcast just got real.
Yeah.
Are we talking about room or what are we talking about?
Leap Day is a time for reflection. Oh, man. How about those Oscars last night? I can't believe all those movies. I can't believe that Pixels
swept
it.
Do you want to do something fun?
Yeah.
Do you want to have some fun with Aristotle? Check this out, guys.
Yeah.
I can't believe
Spotlight
won Best Picture.
Just dub in a robot voice. The Revenant.
I can't believe
Brie Larson
won Best Actress.
I can't believe that Pixels won every Oscar except for costumes, which went to Ridiculous 6.
That's great. But here's the thing, Dan. I'm going to actually...
You're going to
record those things.
You're going to record them later?
Aristotle put those in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Will you do that, Aristotle? I'm looking, and he's just nodding yes, and I'm going to forget. And then tomorrow morning, he's going to be like, hey, are you going to do that thing you said?
And you'll be like, oh, please, don't bother me. I'm
sleeping.
Don't
bother. It's a joke. Okay.
So, guys, as you may have guessed from the title of this episode, our special guest is Leonardo DiCaprio, who is sullen after winning or not winning an Oscar, because not even a gold statuette can fill that void inside of him.
Hey, you know what?
You know,
there's something about being a great actor, then there's something about just
being a member
actually cold because you're
the Pussy Posse.
The Pussy Posse. Hey, Leo, I want to be in your Pussy Posse.
I can't believe that Jacob Tremblay joined the Pussy Posse last night at the Oscars. It was pretty nuts. Seeing that little kid vaping, it was crazy.
Oh, man. He's going to be talented later on if he doesn't end up wanting to do something more beneficial to society, like being a teacher.
Like Jack Gleason, I think, who plays King Joffrey in Game of Thrones. He
went back to school.
Yeah, after he, spoiler alert, died on Game of Thrones. He decided that he didn't want to act anymore and wanted to just pursue something else, which I respect.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a bunch of actors out there who do that. I was interviewing Eliza Dushku at
she follows me on Twitter. Shout out to her. Hey.
Hey Eliza.
Hey,
come on the show.
Come on the show.
I was interviewing her
at
New York.
Go on a date with me. I seen you on a website too.
At New York Comic Con. and she was taking a break from acting to study anthropology.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's super cool.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of people are moving to Austin lately.
Boston.
I feel like a lot of people are moving to Boston lately. If it ends in a stin, it's probably stin. Correct.
Destin. Florida.
Destin. Oh,
I feel like a lot of people are not moving
Tustin.
To Destin. Tustin.
Right outside of Los Angeles, home of Micro Center, where I went to buy a bunch of pieces when I built my computer.
Yeah. I mean, look, if I had that much... I like learning things, but school, that's hard for me to do school, unless I really wanted to do something. I wanted to really learn something, I could do that. But generally, like even as an adult, like I'll want to learn stuff, so I'll look stuff up on Wikipedia. Then, like next thing I know, I'm surfing Twitter and making dick jokes about why I'm single because I'm dumb.
I mean, that's a noble pursuit.
Hey, you know what?
Look, it's a dirty job, but someone's got it.
Hey, we were talking about the Oscars. Here's the thing: the very first Oscars was on May 16th, 1929. It was established by Louis B. Mayer, who is one of the
John Mayer's dad.
John Mayer's dad. He was the originator of the Louis B. Mayer Pictures Corporation, which then ended up being the Mayer and MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm paraphrasing the background of the Oscars here, but he helped establish them and create them because he wanted to get better pictures and better everything. So he's like, let's just give the people who make these things an award of some sort, and they'll make better things. They'll make better things. Yeah.
So that's crazy. The thing,
yeah. And there was actually, in the first Oscars, according to Wikipedia here, where am I looking here?
Weren't they held at the Roosevelt Hotel? They were held at Hollywood, California.
The ceremony was held May 16, 1929 at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, located in Los Angeles. It consisted of a private dinner with 36 banquet tables. There were 270 people attended, and tickets only cost $5, which equivalent to 2016 money, $68. I'd pay $68 to go to the Oscars.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I would pay up to $75, maybe $100.
I would pay if I was getting them off of StubHub, I would pay $105.
Wow. Is that including service fees?
That's including the service
fees.
Okay,
good. I was just double checking.
I'm not going to pay $105 plus that.
What am I? Uncle Pennybags, the Monopoly man over here?
And apparently, Charlie Chaplin was given a special award, and he was removed from the list of nominees because he was given a special award because he was he was nominated for like all the categories for best actor, best writer, best director,
mm-hmm.
because he did all of his own stuff. He did all that on his movie The Circus, and he was taken away, like he was removed from the nominees and just given a special award because of that in 1929.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of Oscar trivia for you guys.
That's some fun Oscar history. I think we've covered, you should check out some previous episodes too, because we covered Oscar facts before about like who's won Oscars for being spending the shortest amount of time on screen, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah, probably not
Channing Tatum in Hateful Eight.
Bryan Cranston.
And Godzilla.
And Godzilla. Channing Tatum and Hateful Eight. Yeah, talk about ruining the movie for you. Never watch the opening credits because like you'll watch a movie and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, wait a minute. When's Channing Tatum come out?
Yeah.
Where's Channing Tatum?
If you're impatient, the opening credits of The Hateful Eight will be like nails on a chalkboard to you because, you know, I love Ennio Morricone music, but they went for a full-on overture, throwback style, just a three-minute song over like just a stylized picture.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and now we begin. yesterday, this is Monday, leap day. Also on February 28th, yesterday was the anniversary. Which anniversary was it? 30th, I want to say. I might be crazy.
You are.
30th anniversary, yes, of Pretty in Pink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which came out on February 28th, 1986, directed by John Hughes. It was his final collaboration with Molly Ringwald. It was made for $7 million. And how much do you think it grossed at the box office?
$33 million.
Close. $40.4 million.
Oh, I was close.
Which is insane. And this it's also fascinating because they actually had to actually, it was not directed by John Hughes. I misspoke. He wrote it, and Howard Deutsch directed it. And it was named Pretty in Pink because John Hughes was a big fan of the Psychedelic Furs song of the same name, Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink.
Exactly. and for
that just cost us $20,000.
Yeah, right. For the band actually recorded a like much poppier version of their song
for the movie. Okay.
And in a 1986 interview with Seventeen magazine with Molly Ringwald, Hughes told her, "The title stuck in my head. I thought about your predisposition towards Pink. I wrote Pretty in Pink the week after we finished 16 Candles." Damn. The week after we finished, he just wrote Pretty in Pink.
Oh, wow.
"I so desperately hate to end these movies that the first thing I do when I'm done is write another one, and then I don't feel sad about having to leave and everyone going away." Now, what's interesting is the song, which came out in 1981, wasn't a hit originally, but it was after the movie came out and sort of launched the Psychedelic Furs career in the United States. And in spite of it being a hit, Psychedelic Furs, their front man, Richard Butler, thinks that Hughes sort of misinterpreted the song, just didn't like took away the wrong message. He said, "The movie was nothing like the spirit of the song at all. It's really hard to say whether it was damaging for us. I suppose we got tied in with the story of the film, and if that's what people thought the story was about and didn't look much further than that, they were getting a very false impression." So Richard Butler throwing some shade at John Hughes.
That's awesome. Speaking of movies.
Yeah.
And speaking of February 29th.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
In 1940, here's some fun trivia. Speaking of the Oscars, so white. They were so white, okay? For her role as Mammy in Gone with the Wind, Hattie McDaniel became the first African-American to win an Academy Award in 1940.
Well, how about that?
Shout out to Hattie if you're listening.
Hattie,
congratulations.
Come on the podcast.
Come on the podcast if you're still listening. We love that. We loved your role as Mammy in Gone with the Wind. Congrats.
Oh boy. Yeah, this is a weekend of a lot of different anniversaries, I think.
Yeah.
I think something people didn't really expect. Do you know that I believe February 27th, for example, was National Strawberry Day?
No, I didn't.
Well, did you also know that strawberries aren't berries, technically speaking?
I remember that.
Yeah,
I've heard that before.
Accessory fruits.
Oh, I love accessories.
Yeah, so they're part of like this weird class of fruit that includes things like apples and pineapples and figs. So they're not.
Oh, like the Newtons.
They're still fruit, but they're not like their name is something of a misnomer.
I know about Newtons. I know about Fig Newtons.
Yeah, they're named for Fig Newtons.
Named for Fig Newtons.
And every year in Oregon, in Lebanon, Oregon, there is the Lebanon Strawberry Festival. It might be Lebanon. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's home to the world's largest shortcake. A cake is made by a bakery in a local grocery store. And in
are they?
Yeah.
Cakes? Are do that? That's what happens?
Yeah. Well, this one in particular is made by a bakery in a local grocery store. And it requires 992 cups of flour, 514 cups of sugar, and 18 cups of vanilla, and can feed more than 15,000 people. So, yes, fucker, cakes are made in grocery stores.
Hey, here's something. Speaking of cakes.
Go on.
Sometimes you could get, like maybe if a cake is, I'm not going to try and segue this, but today, apparently, here's a holiday for you guys. Here's something to know. So, if you're listening to this on your way to work, go into work and wish everybody a happy Rare Disease Day. Because according to Wikipedia, Rare Disease Day is an observance held on the last day of February to raise awareness for rare diseases and improve access to treatment and medical representation for individuals with rare diseases.
Oh, man.
It was established in 2008 because, according to the European Organization for Rare Disease, also known as Eurodis, treatment for many rare
diseases... Eurodis.
Eurodis. treatment for many rare diseases is insufficient, as are the social networks to support individuals. So they created a Rare Disease Day.
And speaking of rare diseases, here's a very rare one. It's called Cotard's delusion.
Get out of here.
Also known as walking corpse syndrome.
What?
So Cotard's delusion, shout out if you watched Walking Dead last night, is a very rare sort of mental psychological disorder in which the person genuinely believes they are missing body parts, especially the brain, or that they are actually dead. And people who suffer from this affliction, oftentimes they won't eat, they won't bathe, and they'll spend a lot of time in cemeteries because they want to be with other people like them, or people that they perceive to be like them. And this disorder has been connected to different parts of the brain, dysfunction in areas of the brain responsible for associating and recognizing facial features and faces. So it what it does, it results in sort of emotional detachment because, like, you can't recognize anyone's face. It removes any sense of personal identity you might have. And so it's just, you know, it's sort of like you just think that you're dead. You think that you're a walking corpse.
Oh, wow.
And you can treat the condition with certain medications, but a lot of people think that electroconvulsive shock therapy is better to sort of treat this condition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... it's pretty scary.
So today's Monday, Dan. How was your weekend? Did you do anything fun?
My weekend was pretty good. I covered the Independent Spirit Awards.
Okay, how
weekend.
Were those?
They were great. I actually learned something fascinating about...
Okay, what'd you learn?
About Michael Keaton.
Get out of town. I love Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I know.
My surname comes from his movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Johnny Dangerously.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think you said, yeah, Batman.
I literally thought of changing my last name for my birthday this week.
Yeah?
I thought about legally changing it.
Oh, man, you should.
I would do something stupid. Like, I would do something like Batman, or my middle name be like like something weird or something.
Oh, please.
Because I don't like my last name.
My father was Batman.
Mr. Batman.
Call me.
Professor.
Robin.
I'm going to change my first name to Professor. And just like... have like 19 names on my driver's license.
Yes, I see you are here, Professor Lion King Aladdin Pasta Rigatoni Finger Blast.
Finger Blast. I want that to be my last name.
It's Finger Blast.
Put an umlaut over the A.
Finger Blast.
Finger Blast or Blast.
Finger.
Finger Blast.
Finger Blast. Oh, man.
So what'd you learn about Mike
Keaton? Yeah, Michael Keaton got his start
in
the industry as an actor, as a puppeteer on the set of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes, I knew that.
Back when he was working in Philadelphia and public access television.
There's funny stories. I can't recall the story, but there's a funny story he's had in an anecdote. He either said this in video or he said this in an interview, but there was something along the lines of like he had to, like during filming or whatever, he had to hide in like the closet or whatever at Mr. Rogers or something like that to hand him something or whatever.
That's terrifying.
And there was like a funny, Mr. Rogers opened the thing up and he said something like really funny, or he was like, hey, fuck off, or like goofing around. Like Mr. Rogers was really, he was a normal dude, but he was, I mean, you want to be brought to tears. There's that when he's like appealing to the courts or whatever to get more funding for PBS.
Oh, God,
and he's just talking about how great kids are and all that. And I have an affinity for him. Like, I love Mr. Rogers because I'm a huge fan of children as well. Like, I have nephews and I mean, children are, I believe
children on Facebook.
I believe children are our future.
I believe they're our past and adults are our future.
My weekend was awesome.
Yeah, what did you do, man? Actually, I think I know what you did and I'm very excited to hear about it.
So I'm sitting at home.
Yeah.
We play Mafia every night, every weekend. We generally
every night, the
last few weekends we've been playing Mafia. My friends and I play Mafia when we were playing Mafia. And this sets up the thing, there was leftover pizza, so I brought some pizza home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting at my home in Culver City, surfing Facebook, eating some breakfast pizza, which is another name for leftover pizza.
Oh, you didn't just like put two pieces of toast around
it? Yeah, two pieces of toast sandwiched around a piece of thin crust.
And some jelly jam or marmalade. Shout out to last week's episode.
So I cooked some. I heated this pizza up, and I'm eating some pizza. And it's like...
Oh, you heated it up.
I hate cold pizza.
See, I'm the opposite. I don't like reheated pizza. I eat it cold.
Oh, it was heated.
Cool.
It was very angry. It was a heated conversation.
Oh, this pizza's got me steamed.
This pizza was very heated. I'm eating this pie, thin crust. Super thin crust, which is great because that means you can eat more pieces. And I'm surfing Facebook, and I see this thing that says Elton John is performing a free concert in West Hollywood at noon. And I'm like, oh, I know where that's at. It's at the Old Tower Records, which is actually, while I say this, I'm going to look up, or I'll let you look it up.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Look up the History of Tower Records because that's an interesting thing also. Very, like, historical building in Los Angeles. Amongst the music scene, the Tower Records there on San Vicente and in Sunset, or Holloway and Sunset, and around that way, around that vicinity, by the very, very near to the historical Viper Room, which Johnny Depp used to own,
and River Phoenix. Oh yeah, Leaf was Joaquin. River Phoenix famously passed away outside the Viper Room.
Another word for overdosing on drugs.
Yes.
So I drive up. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I can get to Hollywood in 25 minutes. So I drive up to West Hollywood.
90 minutes later.
I park my car at a meter, and I walk up on Santa Monica. Then I walk up. And there was already a lot of people there, but there wasn't a ton of people there. So I got decent seats. But Elton John performed a free outdoor concert in the Tower Records parking lot in Hollywood there. And it was amazing, and it was fun. He sounded great. Sadly, he wasn't dressed up like Donald Duck like he was in the 70s when he was coked out of his mind all the time. And that was kind of bummed because I would rather see him dressed up as Donald Duck. But he played a lot of the good songs. He played some new songs that were not that – I mean, there was one new song that was great, and then the other – he played another new song, and it was like a ballad. And I'm just sitting there. It's 81 degrees out. Nobody wants to hear a ballad. Play like a fun song. So that was great. And then Lady Gaga came out and did a song with him, and it was like – it was really cool. It was really fun.
Ridiculous.
Because – and I'm
Lady
thinking –
Lady Gaga was there?
She was there. And I was –
Lady Gugu?
Lady, the – you know, Stephanie – I can't remember her last name. She was there, and she was great, but it was like, you know what? This is Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Before I get to what I'm saying is, A, it was amazing and it was fun, but as we're walking back, like, they had the street closed up to La Cienega, like they were expecting 2 million people.
Really?
There was not 2 million people. There was maybe 3,000 people, if that. Like,
there was
a lot of people, but they had the streets closed off, expecting like mass herds of people to come and just stand in the street with no visual view of even the Tower Records building. But I'm thinking, this is Los Angeles, the second biggest metropolitan area in the United States, arguably the city with the most populous of ratio of talented people in the United States. You could throw a paper cup outside and it would hit somebody with some form of amazing talent. Okay, so I think Los Angeles is probably the most talented city in the United States.
Oh, take that, Duquesne.
But what I'm getting at is there is no reason why Los Angeles can't have every week or every other week some form of awesome outdoor concert or street fest.
I feel like they do, though. It's just not as well. It's harder to get people there when you don't have, like, Elton John.
Well, but the thing is like, you could get – there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to get good bands every other week at least. Like, I know Chicago has street fests and even, like, decent outdoor concerts quite often.
The reason
Orlando had a radio station that did a free outdoor concert, like, once a month even with you know
– money. It's like you need people to bankroll it.
Yeah,
because I mean, there's probably a festival like damn near every weekend.
Hey, AOL, you paid for that Elton John bullshit. Fucking get on the ball, dude.
Yeah, I just think
I wouldn't care if it's Nickelback. I would probably go because I like street fairs with live music.
And I love being able to hurl rotten fruit at Nickelback.
I mean, how much do you think? What do you think is? What do you think that would cost? I mean, you don't need to do it in Tower Records on like a busy street. You could do it on like. I mean, like, Santa Monica will do that. They'll have the outdoor concert during the summertime, but they'll have, like, weird bands that I've never heard of.
That's like, the thing. It's like, you're probably not going to go to that. Like,
no, I'm not going to go to weird bands, but I'll go to, like, other
bands.
That's
the thing. Like, that's the problem. Like, you can't get these A-list talent.
You don't need A-list, though. You could get, like, the Spin Doctors, and I would go see that.
Yeah, but,
get washed-up bands.
That's the thing. It's like, they still are going to ask for more money than these, like, unknown bands. It all comes down to money because you have to get permits from the city and you have to pay for security and then it piles up. Like I'm with you. It'd be fun. Yeah. It'd be great.
Hey, Gin Blossom, but, stop asking for too much money and play an outdoor concert.
Come on, Buck Cherry.
Come on, Soul Asylum. I want to hear about. I want to hear you sing about missing children and the 80-degree weather. Runaway Train is about a runaway children.
No, I thought it was about Denzel Washington.
Place called. And then they got that song "Misery." It's about. It's a. They say misery. It was about that. That's James Caan movie. Was that James Caan? Kathy Bates.
Misery. Yeah, Kathy Bates for sure.
Yeah. But anyways, I seen Elton John. I saw Elton John.
Yeah, James Caan.
I saw Elton John. Jimmy Caan. He told me I could call him Jimmy.
Jimmy. Did he really?
Elton. Yeah, I met him a couple times. He's like, hey, you can just call me Jim.
Call me Jimmy.
I saw Elton John, and I knew his real name, but for those of you who don't know his real name, Elton John was born Reginald Kenneth Dwight, March 25th, 1947. And a lot of people don't know this, too. I mean, I do, but some people don't. But majority of his songs since 1967 have been written by Bernie Taupin.
Really?
So Elton John's lyricist, the lyrics to majority of Elton John's songs are written by Bernie Taupin, and then Elton John composes the music. Music and the melody and the theme.
That's cool, though.
They've collaborated on more than 30 albums, and in his five-decade career, Elton John has sold more than 300 million records, making him one of the best-selling artists in the world. He has more than 50 top 40 hits, including 7 consecutive number one U.S. albums. His single Candle in the Wind in 1997 sold over 33 million copies.
Wow.
But so
30 albums.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So a lot of Elton John's songs, the best-selling songs and the hits were lyrics by Bernie Taupin. So then they got me wondering about Bernie Taupin.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Taupin was born May 22nd. His name's Bernard Taupin. He's written songs for mostly Elton John, but he's also written some other songs, most notably, which blew my mind. Today I was reading about songs he wrote. He co-wrote, ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
We Built This City on Rock and Roll.
What?
Bernie Taupin goes from writing...
We Built This City. Wow.
He goes from writing amazing songs with Elton John to writing an amazing song. I don't give a shit what you say. A lot of people say it's a shitty song, but it's such a catchy song, and I love it. We Built a City on Rock and Roll. He wrote that for the band Starship, formerly known as Jefferson Starship, formerly known as Jefferson Airplane.
That is truly bonkers.
Yeah.
Also, what a great rename of your band, going from Airplane to Starship.
Yeah. Benny and the Jets. Bernie Taupin wrote Benny and the Jets, some notable hits. He wrote The Bitch is Back.
Bitch is Back.
He wrote Border Song.
Benny and the Jets.
He wrote Candle in the Wind. He wrote Crocodile Rocks.
He really needs to try a new melody.
Bernie Taupin wrote the lyrics to Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
It's a great melody. What if those, like, Bernie Taupin writes all the lyrics and then Elton John writes the melody and it's the same melody?
Same one every time. Yeah, this is a really boring 30 albums.
Yeah. Bernie Taupin wrote the lyrics to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Like, all of Elton John's really great songs, he wrote the lyrics to.
Interesting. Also celebrating a anniversary this... I forgot the word for anniversary. I was like, oh, what's a better word for birthday? Celebrating its 20th birthday this past Saturday, the 27th. It was a little game called Pokemon.
What?
Yeah, it's
I've heard of that.
2 decades old, created by Satoshi Tajiri.
I know Satoshi Tajiri.
God damn it!
Pokemon. Oh, you like the Pikachu?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Is it? You talked to him?
Yeah, I did.
He's still alive?
I did. I did indeed. Satoshi Tajiri.
Oh my God. Did you meet him at the Spirit Awards?
He was there to present Coolest Pikachu. And he created this game back in the day.
Have you seen the movie The Witch? Not to interrupt you, but my favorite part when she was with the baby and she was like,
"You like Pikachu, delicious
Pikachu, Pikachu," and then the baby was gone.
And,
spoiler
alert. Captured by Team Rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, created by Satoshi Tajiri, who was a big fan of bug collecting when he was younger. Other children called him Dr. Bug, and he actually wanted to become an entomologist. And as he got older, he got more and more into arcade games. And so he sort of wanted to unite those two passions. One thing he really liked about entomology is that it was this feeling of like hunting and collecting, and he wanted to catch them all and collect every creature possible. So, when he was a teenager, he was very fascinated with arcade games to the point where he started trying to plan his own game. So what he did is he took apart his Super Nintendo, called a Famicom, or Family Computer.
Yep, Super Famicom.
Yes, Super Family Computer.
Super.
then he went on to form what started as a magazine, a video magazine, a video gaming magazine called Game Freak with Ken Sugimori. And then they turned that into a game development company, and they are the ones who created Pokemon. And it's insane. How many Pokemon do you think there are right now?
I got to point out how, with the last name Sugimori, how his parents just decided to name him Ken. You know what I mean? Like, you got such an awesome last name, and we're just going to go with Ken. How many Pokemon do I think there are?
Yeah. Do you know how many there were originally?
Nope. I've never played it or seen it or anything like that, but I'm going to say 167.
Okay. So there were 150.
50, that's what I said.
One 151. Official Pokemon in the first game. You can sort of fudge that a little bit if you add in, like, Mew and Missing No, one of whom was an actual glitch. But as of today, there are 722 Pokemon.
Collect them all.
Yeah, across, like, six generations of different games. They just announced two new ones, Pokemon Sun and Moon. The first Pokemon ever created is a Pokemon called Rhydon, which is this big old, you know, vaguely rhinoceros-esque Pokemon. There's one called Arceus, which is the oldest in the game universe, but the first one ever designed was Rhydon. And in the earliest designs for capsule monsters, or eventually as became known, Pokemon, which is short for
Pocket Monsters.
Pocket the Monsters.
Oh, Pocket the Monsters.
Yeah, Rhydon appears a bunch of times, and that's, you know, that's a big reason why in the game you'll see a bunch of random statues of Rhydon, because it was just like one of the first ones they conceived of. So,
Rhydon.
Fun little fact.
Rhydon.
Boo. Boo.
Rhydon, guys. So let me ask you this: since did it start off as the video game, or it started off as the card game? Because it's a card game too, right?
It started off as a video game.
Then
it became TV show. And
is it a card game, or am I thinking of something else?
A card game. Yes. Video game,
like,
for the
Magic.
Game Boy was first. Like Magic the Gathering, yes. Magic the Gathering preceded the Pokemon collectible card game by many, many years.
There's something else I was going to ask about that.
Okay.
But I can't remember. Maybe that was that, but I can't remember. Pokemon, yeah. Never played it. But I know it has to do with, like, it's about a boy with a red and white hat and a blue jacket, right? He's Pokemon?
It's about an immortal 10-year-old named Ash Ketchum, or Satoshi, if you're a stickler for the Japanese edition, who is forced out of his house, and then he systematically goes around the world enslaving animals and forcing them to fight for sport.
Why is he forced out of his house?
Because when you're 10 years old, you got to get a fucking job. And that job is to go collect Pokemon. There's actually a really fascinating theory about the Pokemon games, because it's a world populated mostly by the very, very old and the very, very young. And
so there's
theory,
no middle age?
A couple exceptions, but for the most part, no. And a big theory is that there was a massive war that rocked the Kanto region where the game takes place beforehand, and so you were the first generation to grow up outside that war. And one of the reasons that Professor Oak, at the beginning of the game, gives you a Pokedex and sends you out into the world to go, like, explore and, like, catalog all these Pokemon, is that they need to figure out what survived all this bloodshed and, like, what species are still around. So you are helping with the reconstruction phase in truly, like, apocalyptic scenario.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So you go around and you find these creatures that don't eat you. You just find them, and they help you.
Yeah, hopefully your creatures will make sure they don't eat you. Yeah, your Pokemon never die. They just faint. When they faint, they just rest in their Pokeballs, and then you have to take them to a medical center where they are treated. Yeah.
Wild.
It's fun stuff.
Wild stuff.
Pokemon.
So, okay, let's talk about, since we're talking about, like words and stuff like that, like you were, like, Famicom and Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Here's something that was interesting to me. Amethyst. An amethyst is a rock. It is a stone. It is
kind of like pinkish purple.
Yeah. The amethyst is like a, often used in jewelry. It's it's a violet variety of quartz.
Ooh.
An amethyst is a type of quartz used in jewelry. Amethyst is a semi-precious stone, and it's the traditional birthstone for February. But the name amethyst is Greek for not intoxicated, because the stone was once thought to protect the owner from substance abuse and toxicity there. So, like, the word amethyst is like the and amethyst means not.
Amethyst.
Means not. Then the methyst is derived from the Greek word that means non-intoxicating.
Just like
methyst.
For example, like, your vocation is your job, your avocation is your hobby.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Not job.
and just like your tss is the front of your body and your ass is the back of your body.
Not front. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Those amethyst means not intoxicated in Greek, in Grecian, the Grecian language here.
I'm surprised they had a word for that.
Yeah.
Those drunk-ass Greeks.
Hey, speaking of
drunk-ass Greeks.
Speaking of drunks, here's something about candy, right? Do you eat candy? What's your favorite chocolate bar?
My favorite chocolate bar are Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, those are good. Those are good. That's not a chocolate bar, but those are, you know, chocolate treats.
Reese's Fast Break.
Oh, that's really good. What do you think about Twix?
Twix are good, although I feel like I've been getting less and less of them over the years. I feel like they used to be bigger when I was younger.
Yeah, they have.
What?
You feel like you're absolutely right.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because when Twix debuted in the 80s,
Time for Twix.
they were originally 60 grams. They weighed 60 grams in the package. And then in the 2000s, they lowered that to 58 grams.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 10s right now, it's at 50 grams. So over since the 80s, since the debut of Twix, they have dropped 17% in the chocolate bar size. The chocolate bar size has dropped 17%. Conversely, the Snickers has gone up 7%. So what debuted as 45 grams in the 80s, they increased to 62 grams in the 90s, decreased to 58 grams in the 2000s. Then they decreased even more to 48 grams currently, but they still are, in theory, more Snickers bar since the 80s.
Interesting. What was the peak again? Well,
the peak Snickers bar size for a standard Snickers bar was 62 grams.
Dang. Do they just make that like the king size now, you think?
That might be a thing.
I wonder if that's why I wonder when king size candy bars first came into being. Well, there's no way we can ever know. I thought I had a fact here. What's your favorite candy bar, man?
My favorite candy bar is the Snickers.
Snickers?
Snickers is probably my favorite.
Well, that's good. You're not yourself when you're hungry.
No, man. You know what? Hey, there's
some Snickers.
Hey, I mean, look, some days the hunger's outside of you and other days the hunger's inside you.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. The one that has changed the least is the Cadbury Cream Egg.
Ooh.
It is only increased by a single gram from when it was introduced in the 1970s until the 2010s.
The 2010s.
Is that what we're calling it? The 2010s?
I call it the 2010s.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Kit Kats. They actually just announced a new flavor of Kit Kat in Japan, sake flavor.
Ooh.
Yeah, so if you like Japanese rice wine.
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing.
What up?
You mentioned Japan.
Yes, I did mention Japan.
You've been to Japan.
I've been to Japan.
We've mentioned Japan a lot on this show because you've been to Japan and a lot of people have been to Japan. I have never been to Japan.
Oh, you should go.
I should go.
You should go in like August.
I should go in August? Hey, Dan, that's so funny that you bring that up.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be humid, though.
Because I'm going in August.
Just so you know. It's going to be humid.
Really?
Yeah. But it's going to be awesome.
Good thing I got travel insurance because I'm going to cancel my flight now.
Are you?
Yeah. It's going to be very humid in August.
It depends on where you go. When I was there in August in Kyoto.
We're going there.
It was very humid.
We're going to Okinawa.
Okay.
We're going to Hiroshima.
Like way south. So are you going to Tokyo at all?
We're flying into Tokyo. Uh-huh. We're going for 2 weeks.
Okay. That's a good amount of time.
So we're flying into Tokyo. I think we're going to be there like a day and a half, 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go southwest along the coast, along the border, and go to like Hiroshima, and we're going to fly to Okinawa.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the hot springs that are off of another place there.
I would say, I mean, it'll be great no matter what. I would almost say you might want an extra day in Tokyo because it's a big city.
Well, there's we're going to fly out of Tokyo also, so we're going to start in Tokyo.
Yeah. The bullet train, it takes about 3 hours by train to get from Tokyo to Kyoto, which is insane because it's like an 8-plus-hour bus ride.
Yeah, we're getting the bullet train pass. That we're getting that. It's like we're getting that pass for like 2 weeks. It's like a 2-week pass.
The JR
pass.
Yeah.
Who shot the JR pass?
Yeah.
for those of you listeners who are old enough to have watched Dallas, it was on. That was Dallas, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Dynasty or Dallas? It was Dallas. J.R.
Yeah,
Ewing.
Who shot J.R. Ewing Dallas. On Dallas? Who shot Patrick Ewing on the
Knicks?
Who
shot Patrick Ewing? But also, one of the things I want to go to, and you'll know more about this. Oh, no. You know what?
I won't.
Fuck yeah. Northwest Base of Japan. Oh, this is perfect because I was looking up where it is. We're going to hike Mount Fuji.
Oh, excellent.
We're going to hike that. It's like a 14-hour. We're going to start halfway up. Then we're going to hike it and watch the sunrise and sunset and do that. We're going to stay at – there's my buddy was found like an old monk temple that lets you stay there for the night. So we're going to do that and go see some of those old historic ruins. But one of the things I want to do – my friends don't want to do this because they are afraid of karma. But since I don't believe in karma, I want to go to the suicide forest.
Oh, really?
I really want to camp there. I want to stay the night in the suicide forest. That's how ballsy I am.
Wow.
That's so how many nightmares I'm going to give myself.
As of August, I'm going to have to find a new co-host for this show because I'm going to be eaten alive by spooky ghosts.
I really want to go there at nighttime because my brain plays the worst tricks on me. My brain, when it comes to like scaring, when it comes to being scared, my brain scares me the most.
Yeah, I get terrified watching horror movies, yeah. And I know they're just movies.
Yeah. I want
to being someone legitimately scary, like being somewhere really scary.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Hey, pronounce the name of the suicide forest for me.
Okigahara.
Okigahara.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to go there. I want to go to Okigahara, or as they say, Okigahara.
Okigahara.
That's Master also, Splinter. Master Splinter said Okigahara.
Also known as the Sea of Trees.
Also known as the Suicide Trees.
The Suicide Forest.
The Suicide Forest.
It was it sort of got that nickname, Sea of Trees, and Suicide Forest. It got a reputation for suicide from like 1960s novel, I believe.
Holy shit! Check this out. The forest. This is how far I'm going to go into this forest because it contains a large number of rocky ice caverns, a few of which are popular tourist destinations.
So how did Razzle die again? Oh yes,
he was pummeled by icy stalactite.
He was murdered by ice ghosts.
By ice ghosts.
Coast to coast.
The forest has a historic association with yuri, or ghosts of the dead in Japanese mythology, and it is a notoriously common suicide site. 54 took place in 2010.
Wow. God. Wow.
I want to go there.
It's, you know, they stopped reporting a lot of the numbers, actually, because they wanted to discourage copycat behavior and stuff like that. Do you see that movie, The Forest?
No.
It was okay.
Is it about the Suicide Forest?
Yeah, it's about the Suicide Forest. I think there's another one being made about the forest, starring Matthew McConaughey, if I'm not mistaken. That one sounds a little bit better, because that movie could have been good, but then it wasn't.
I want to go there. What else is good in Japan?
There's so much that's good in Japan. Two words that you need to know.
Yes.
That I found handy. One you'll need to know more than others, but your traveling companions might like the second one.
I am American.
The first is...
Where's the booze?
The first one is tabe hodai.
What does that mean?
It means all you can eat.
Ooh!
And nomi hodai is all you can drink.
Oh, they would
and
like
so
that second one.
A lot of places, they'll do for a couple hours. You pay like $20 or 2,000 yen. And for that much, you just get to order all the drinks you want and eat all the food that you want. And it's delicious.
They, my friends will like that. They're excited about the flight over there because it's all that you can drink.
Yeah, it's what some people would call a 2 hangover flight.
Yeah. that's funny because that's exactly what they're talking about is how it's all just free booze. And it's like, what? And they're like, oh, you'll like it. And I'm like, I don't drink. What? I get free drinks on planes anyways.
Yeah, exactly. but you'll like that there's probably going to be plugs on the seat.
And it's a double-decker fucking flight. I've never been on one of those planes.
You don't want to be upstairs, trust me.
Why not?
It's tiny as hell.
Is it?
It's very cramped upstairs.
I don't know where I'm at, but I want to go up there. Cause
I want a middle seat upstairs.
I've never seen the upstairs flight. I've never been on a double-decker plane. I just want to run up and down the stairs that are there. Hey, look it. I'm upstairs. I'm downstairs. I'm on the upstairs in the sky, dudes. That blows my mind that those giant, that big of a thing can fly. Hey, speaking of flying.
Go on.
Dragons. Dragons fly.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see the new thing for Pete's Dragon, the new show?
I did not watch the trailer yet. I saw some footage of D23. I don't give a shit about it. I try to get excited about most things, but I'm just like, I don't care.
It looks pretty good in the sense that it looks exactly like The Jungle Book. trailer. It's about this orphan kid running through a forest.
But the Jungle Book looks so much better.
I know. Well, I hope the Jungle Book's a musical. Is it a musical?
There, I don't think so. I think there's going to be some like moments and homages. Like, I think that there's probably
little whistles.
I think he might sing Bare Necessities at one point, but it's not a full on musical.
See, that bums me out because I miss Disney musicals that are also great movies.
Yeah.
And that was
like Frozen.
Frozen was a great movie.
And they're making a sequel.
Absolutely. And it excited me when I found out they're making a Jungle Book because it looks great, but I also want music.
Although they're coming out with a new musical as well called Gigantic, which is sort of like a twist on Jack and the Beanstalk.
Okay.
Takes place in Spain, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're short.
And also, Moana is going to be their next big musical.
Okay.
Set in like.
I love musicals, man. That's what I love about the classic, the Disney classics, mm-hmm. as they say, like Little Mermaids and all those, because they're musicals. Yeah. But that bummed me out that
she's
the Jungle
like
Book.
5'7". She's not that little.
Pete's Dragon is coming out. And I remember seeing the original as a kid, and it was kind of like a wannabe Mary Poppins, like they were trying to capitalize on that type of.
They're trying to remake
British,
Mary Poppins too.
They are
with Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, but I was looking up some stuff about Pete's Dragon, and this was interesting to me because Disney has been notorious for when they come out with new movies
New movies
or VHS or whatever, like old movies, like they were notorious. Disney has always been notorious for releasing movies on VHS or whatever for a short period of time.
Okay,
and to speak about that is the very first Disney feature film
mm-hmm.
released on VHS or Beta. Right? The very first Disney feature to be released on VHS or Beta was in 1980. And it was Pete's Dragon.
Really?
Pete's Dragon was the very first Disney feature to be released on VHS or Betamax with a running time of 121 minutes.
Wow. What's the first Disney film you remember seeing?
Oh, shit. That's a good...
For me, I think it was Dumbo. That's the one that's burned into my brain.
That's a good question. Because I'm older than you.
Yeah.
I mean, not by a lot, but you're 25?
27.
27. Okay, so I turned 34.
I aged a lot during the course of this podcast.
I turned 34 on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm 7 years older than you, mm-hmm. which means I had a great deal of remembering Betamax.
Yeah,
experienced a lot. I experienced less channels on cable, mm-hmm. on television than you. So, but what going with that is, as a kid, Disney would always have... ABC was notoriously known as, on Sunday nights, it would be The Wonderful World of Disney. So they would have they would have Disney movies every Sunday night and Disney shorts and things like that. So it's tough. I can't necessarily...
Like Brandy's Cinderella?
Yeah, or like Computer Wore Tennis Shoes with Kurt Russell and, mm-hmm. and the Hardy Boys, and they would have lots of that stuff like that. But Disney would always also do like 2 free weeks of the Disney Channel, which to try and get you to buy the premium cable
the
Disney.
Perfect crime.
It's hard for me to think because I feel like I remember seeing Bedknobs and Broomsticks, which was an old Disney movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember seeing Mary Poppins as a small child.
Uh-huh.
So to completely remember the very first Disney movie I've seen is tough because
of course it was so you were so immersed in that environment.
I was immersed in the environment, and I would say the first Disney movie I remember seeing in the theater would be Oliver and Company.
Okay.
That's one I remember distinctively as a small child going to the theater to see.
Yeah.
And that I think was in like 1987, I believe, or 1986. But the very first Disney movie I've seen was probably one that was aired on television as A Wonderful World of Disney. And if it was aired on television, it would have been it would have been like an old classic or whatever. Aristotle's smiling. I'm curious what he's smirking at. What would he be laughing about? Do you have something to contribute?
I was just thinking, I still haven't seen The Black Hole.
Oh, Aristotle's mentioning he didn't see The Black Hole, which was, I believe, the very first Disney PG movie, I think, or something along those lines. And it did notoriously bad. I remember being like a flop because it was so dark and gruesome and gloomy.
It also came out in 1979.
Yeah. The Black Hole. I remember that movie.
Yeah.
You do?
But I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I mean, I remember seeing it, but I haven't seen it in ages. I can't remember about it. I remember there was a creepy scene with like a lake and water that looked like really real. It was like a shimmer, like ice. It was like black ice or something like that, if I recall correctly.
Speaking of creepy movies, I think far and away the creepiest children's movie that I absolutely loved was Little Nemo: Adventures in Slumberland. Did you see that?
Yes, I remember that.
And I'm realizing now that part of the reason it was so dark is because it was originally, I'm pretty sure it was originally like a Japanese production or like it was a, might have been a US Japanese co-production. Yeah, it was the brainchild of producer Yutaka Fujioka. And it was his dream for years to make a animated, like a feature length animated version of Winsor McKay's famous comic strip, Little Nemo in Slumberland. And so he, in 1977, he personally flew to Monterey, California to convince the surviving members of Winsor McKay's family to give him the film rights, and he did so. And after that, he approached George Lucas to help produce, but Lucas thought the storyline was problematic. He then also approached animation legend Chuck Jones, who also declined. And so he just kept pushing forward and eventually appointed Ray Bradbury and Edward Summer to write screenplays. But they Gary Kurtz, who was he was appointed producer, and Gary Kurtz was famously the producer of New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. And check this out. The screenplay is credited to a combination of folks, but one of the folks who co-wrote the screenplay for Little Nemo was Chris Columbus.
Yeah, who sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah, Chris Columbus. He wrote it in 1942.
Yeah. And Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1942 to fight the Nazis.
To fight the Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, Little Nemo, Adventures in Slumberland. I remember seeing that movie as a small child. I also remember playing that game on the Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES, where you would subdue villains by throwing them candy, which would like tire them out. And I remember that
you
game.
Give them diabetes.
I remember that game being very, very hard and
Yeah, Little Nemo, the Dream Master.
Yes, Little Nemo, the Dream Master, and Little Nemo, the movie was actually a good movie. I thought
it was great.
It was a great movie. It bombed at the box office, though.
Yeah, like $35 million budget, $11 million box office.
It's such a bummer. Because it was more of like an anime style, I feel like, and back then the United States wasn't ready for that.
It was like
an
interesting blend between anime and more traditional American animation, but I remember it felt different. Maybe that's why I liked it so much.
Yeah, the original soundtrack was penned by the Academy Award-winning Sherman Brothers. Now, I don't know who the Sherman Brothers are, but I'm clicking on their link right now.
Sherman Brothers, who wrote Mary Poppins.
They wrote Mary Poppins, yep. They wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. They wrote the songs to the Jungle Book, like we were mentioning.
Yeah. Was it Richard and Dick Sherman?
Robert and Richard.
And, I guess Richard and Dick would be the same person.
Robert died in March 6th, 2012, and Richard Sherman is still alive.
Well,
the Sherman Brothers. Okay, they're the songwriters that wrote all those great Disney musicals.
Yeah, they're the songwriters of note for Disney for a long
time. Bedknobs and Broomsticks was a good movie. I'm surprised they haven't tried to remake that.
Beanobs and Beesticks.
I'm surprised they haven't tried to remake that yet.
Yeah, they're trying to remake it with Devil Sticks.
Do people even use bedknobs anymore? Futons and Swifters. That's stupid. I'm going to tweet that right now. I'm making a remake to Bedknobs and Broomsticks called Futons and Swifters.
Everyone needs a good Swiffer in their life. I'm going to Swiffer my apartment later. It's going to be great. Bye-bye, dust. Well, I think that we accomplished the task we set out to do.
Yeah.
Provide people with a concentrated dose.
Hey, here's the thing real quick.
Face.
Here's some stuff. Here's something I...
Tell me.
Do you watch Vinyl?
I've not seen it yet.
Holy cow. Don't watch it. It's such a bad show, guys. Hey, if you want to watch... If you guys like hate watching, not to be confused with hate fucking, like when when you have makeup sex.
Yeah.
If you hate watch, like if you watch The Bachelor or things or those live plays to live tweet and hate things, you'll love Vinyl because Vinyl is horrible.
Really? It's that bad? The first two episodes?
It doesn't know what it wants to be.
You watch the first one?
I watched the first two and it's such a bad show.
Oh, that's a bummer. But it's already been renewed for a second season.
I know. Before the second episode aired.
Yeah.
Because it's so bad, dude. Acting's bad. It's bad.
They've seen all the episodes, so maybe it gets better.
It's such a bad show. Maybe it doesn't get better. It's not like those videos on YouTube, those inspirational
get better
videos.
It's not like an anti-bullying campaign.
It's not an anti-bullying campaign. Vinyl doesn't get better.
Hey, kids. It gets worse.
Vinyl is the opposite of the anti-bullying campaign. It doesn't get better. But there's Vinyl is about the record industry, and it has, like, music, and it has things like that. And has like scores, and which is one reason why some of the budgets is so much is to get royalty rights to these songs. But they're in the pilot episode, which was too long. It was a 2-hour pilot episode, and it felt like 3 hours.
Wow.
There was music in the background, a song called Come On, Feel the Noise.
Mm. And I'm like, is that by Quiet Riot?
Oh, it is by Quiet Riot. But Quiet Riot released the song in 1983, and the episode and the show takes place in the 70s, most notably 1973.
Oh, man, that's a glaring plot hole.
Absolutely. But
what?
I looked into that.
There's more?
There's more.
Come on, feel the noise.
Is a rock song originally released by a band named Slade.
Wow.
In 1973. And Quiet Riot covered the song in 1983, and it made it became Quiet Riot's biggest hit.
It's so crazy.
And it was a cover song, and I never knew that it was a cover song.
How mad would you be if you're in Slade?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, we wrote their biggest hit. God damn it.
And everybody's
Slade!
Like, who is Slade? I haven't heard of Slade.
Slade is the first name of Slade Wilson,
yep.
A.K.A. Deathstroke, who yep. is a villain for the Teen Titans in DC Comics, but also in the DC TV universe, he's been menacing Arrow.
Yeah,
in the
yeah.
first
Slade
couple
Wilson.
Seasons, Slade
yeah.
Wilson, and then Wade Wilson, A.K.A. Deadpool.
Yeah,
was named was in like sort of tribute to him after yeah. Rob Liefeld basically ripped off the character.
Yeah, and the outfit.
And they're like, and his co-creator Fabian Nicieza was like, "Dude, you just made Deathstroke." They're like, all right, let's roll with it. We'll just name him Wade Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so go see Deadpool instead of
go
Vinyl.
Go see Deadpool instead of Vinyl. Don't watch Vinyl.
Yeah.
Go see Deadpool.
Don't. Yeah, exactly. You can finish the entirety of Deadpool in the same time it takes to watch one episode of Vinyl.
Dude, that pilot was so bad.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
The second episode's bad, too.
I haven't seen it yet. I will watch it at some
How about
point.
That 11-22-20C? Or whatever that
1122 Tennessee?
Yeah, 1122 Tennessee with, you know, Johnny Thomas.
With James Franco.
Jimmy Frank.
With Jimmy Franks.
Like it. Jimmy Franks.
I haven't seen that yet either.
It's all right.
I'd like
it could
to
be better.
It
could be better. I like time travel stuff, but I like it.
Yeah. I've heard good things. I like Stephen King. So
I'll take what I can
I'm willing to take the ride. I just watched a show called Unreal
yeah,
from
how
Lifetime,
was that?
Which is, it was unreal how good it
Get
was.
Get out of town.
It follows the, like, making of a fictional show. Like a fictional version of a show like The Bachelor.
Okay.
And so it follows all the people behind the scenes and
no
like all
way.
The crazy drama and like the producers. It's fantastic.
That's
it's
great.
10 episodes, a little soapy, a little over the top, but really good, really well done. And you're like, oh shit. It makes you stop and think how much goes into a production of a show like The Bachelor.
Oh.
And like, you know, you see that, you just like roll your eyes and like tweet about it, but like, watching this show was fantastic.
Oh, let alone the editors that are really the story creators.
Oh, for sure. Like you, like all these so many producers, like trying to weave different narratives.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. So that's been Dan Arazzle's TV Do's and TV. Oh no, you don't.
Hey guys, that's been us.
Yeah.
Hey, and thanks for listening. I guess that's today's episode, right? We're wrapping
up. That,
yeah, like
much like the farmer once famously said to Babe. That'll do, Pig. I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
Oh, wait. Also, real quick, Bed Knobs and Broomsticks are based off of a book. Of course it is.
Called Bread Knobs and Book Sticks.
Called The Magic Bed Knob, or How to Become a Witch in 10 Easy Lessons.
Or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
And Bonfires and Broomsticks in 1945.
Oh, how about that? A little sequel.
A little
or
sequel.
Prequel. But yeah, awesome, guys. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a delightful, hostful episode full of your fabulous hosts. Me and him.
Hey, thanks.
He and me. And yeah, if you wanna find us on the internet, you're in luck. We're on Twitter at TWL Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. We are also on Gmail. If you have a fact, question, comment, concern, you can send it to todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, if you have any facts or anything you'd like to share with us, do it there. But if you'd like to share with us on a more personal level, guess what? You can. Razzle, where can the people find you online?
You can find me online at My Name is Razzle 2 on Twitter, Snapchat, My Name is Razzle, and Instagram, My Name is Razzle.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking today, I was taking a shower, and I'm like, you know what? When The Truman Show came out, everybody's like, oh, I would hate if that was me. I would hate to be in The Truman Show. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
That's basically what
That's
Snapchat
is. That's what Snapchat is. Snapchat is just The Truman Show.
It's Truman Show, but with like more dick pics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like just more surprise genitalia.
Yeah, yeah. But you can find me on those.
And anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, yes, absolutely, 100%. Dan,
great.
Thank you for reminding me. This Wednesday, March 2nd, I have a new podcast debuting, my podcast miniseries with Kyle Newman, with director Kyle Newman.
Friend of the show.
It's a very good friend of the show. It's called The Franchise, and it debuts on Howl.fm. Howl.fm is like the Netflix of podcasting. You can get many, many stand-up comedy albums on Howl.fm. You can also listen to Mark Maron's
entire catalog.
There's a lot of other great podcasts that are on Howl.fm.
Bang Bang, How Did This Get Made, all sorts of good stuff.
All sorts of good stuff on Howl.fm. And they are, what they're doing is they're releasing these premium series, these mini series on Howl.fm, one of which is The Franchise, which is a podcast Kyle and I created, which is each season we're going forward is going to be about an individual movie franchise.
Nice.
So each episode is going to be about a specific film in the franchise. So this we started it off with one of the best franchises ever, Star Wars, and we go through each. There's six episodes. Each episode of the franchise is about an individual Star Wars episode.
Now, you know what question I have.
Absolutely.
Are you starting with? Are you starting chronologically?
We're starting release date. We're starting release date.
So you're starting with episode four.
So number one is episode four. Number two is episode five. Episode six, one, two, and three.
Oh, you're not doing one about the holiday special?
Nope. We're just doing the ones released in the movie. There's seven episodes total. We have like a State of the Union as our very first episode that's already released. But it's great because we approach these movies through what we know after watching The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have our opinions, and we talk about, you know, the nostalgic of when we first seen it and our favorite scenes and all that, but we also talk about the story structure and all that and how it has changed since we've seen The Force Awakens. And there's a lot of great guests. We got Seth Green, Claire Grant. We have Anthony Bresnikan, who wrote exclusively for Entertainment Weekly.
If you guys don't follow him, he's a senior entertainment writer for EW, and he breaks all the best Star Wars news.
Yeah, we'll have to have him on the show. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
We have Ashley Eckstein, who was
she's lovely.
She's great.
Wonderful.
She's one of the voices on Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, she voices
and all
Ahsoka
that.
Tano on Star Wars Rebels, and also created her universe.
Yep. We have Vanessa Marshall, I believe, who also does some voices on Rebels and Star Wars things and stuff like that. It's really, really great. You can get a free month of Howl.fm subscription if you use the code word franchise. So use the phrase franchise, and you get a free month of subscription to Howl.fm, and that comes out on this Wednesday,
Fantastic.
March 3rd.
So Wednesday, March 3rd, either...
Wednesday, March 2nd, I'm sorry.
Wednesday, March 2nd. You can hear it on the 3rd as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Wednesday, March 2nd, either go to Howl.fm or download the Howl app on your smartphone device.
Yes, however, if you need to do it in unison, start off with the internet because the code doesn't work on...
Interesting.
Sign up online, and then you can listen. Yes, yeah.
Cool.
So use the code... I mean, it's...
They should fix that.
Yeah, or use it, or use the code on iTunes. I mean, or you just buy iTunes. It's like $5 a month. But
cool.
But yeah. Do that. Go check out the franchise on Howl.fm.
Fantastic. Awesome. And guys, you can also find me on the internet. I am on Twitter and Instagram at OsteoFerocious. And I am on Snapchat at ClamsClamsClams because I made that a long time ago and didn't think Snapchat was ever going to take off. And now here I am at ClamsClamsClams. So add me. I'm starting to snap more. I'm embracing the Truman Show of it all.
Yeah, I still don't quite get it.
No.
I don't get it. I mean,
the best way that I've had it explained to me is that it's the stuff that is not good enough for Twitter or Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
It's the
and
stuff that,
people
like,
people love it. And people,
you're sharing a dumb slice of your day that is not good enough to share in, like, an official capacity.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it's definitely helps if you're, you know, younger and a Vine star, because those people follow you over. Or if you're like a hot model,
yeah,
those girls have so many followers, but because all they do is post pictures of them in bikinis.
Yeah.
Not that I follow a lot of them. I post those same pictures,
and I get no results.
Yeah,
of me in bikinis.
I'm going to start doing that. That's going to be my Snapchat. I'm going to just start wearing girl bikinis and be like, this is every girl on Snapchat. That actually could be kind of funny.
Yeah, just reenacting popular Snapchats.
But yeah, I'm embracing it. I'm trying to post, trying to Snapchat more. It's just so hard to always be pulling out your phone when you see stuff to Snapchat.
It's one of those things where I try to, you know, generally speaking, I just try to be in the moment, enjoy myself, and just, like, live life.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, oh, that's stupid. I should share that with people.
Yeah,
but it's not good enough to share.
Yeah.
Oh, Snapchat. Also, guys, I have a fan page that I made on Facebook, so I'll be posting like more promotional stuff there about like my books and videos I make, so I don't clog up my friends' feeds. So if you could do me a solid and like, just search for Dan Casey. If you could like that, it would mean a lot to me. I'd really appreciate it. My books, they've been on sale. You can get my Avengers book for less than $10. 100 Things Avengers Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and 100 Things Star Wars Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Get the Star Wars book, read up as you listen to Razzle's new podcast, The Franchise. It's the perfect companion piece, so you can sort of brush up along with them and be as up to date as humanly possible. That's pretty much it. If you're going to be at South by Southwest or WonderCon, I'll be there in the next couple weeks. So I'll be at South by Southwest the first weekend during Interactive. We're going to be over at Bangers on Rainy Street, so come on by, say hello.
And what are those dates?
That is March 11th through March 13th. I will be in beautiful Austin, Texas, eating my body weight in brisket.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and releasing all the bats underneath that bridge. That's about it for me. Thank you guys so much for listening as always. If you can find it in your heart to take a minute, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, or follow your heart, but your heart says 5 stars. Trust me, I'm a doctor of hearts. A cardiologist. I should have led with that. I'm a certified cardiologist. If you can leave a review as well, we'd be most appreciative. And yeah, thank you so much. Have a great leap day. Enjoy the extra 24 hours of 2016. It's going to be lit. Stay woke.
Sick, bro.
Oh, sick.
Don't walk around acting sus.
Yeah. Oh, God, sus. I did not learn that until one of my videos got ripped and put on World Star Hip Hop. With 700 of the most
suspect, right? What
suspect.
Does it mean?
It means that they suspect you are gay.
Is that it?
Yep. You were acting.
I thought it was just you're acting shady. Like you're acting very suspect.
It generally applies to questioning one's sexuality.
That's bananas.
Trust me. One of my videos, look up male interviewer twerking upside down French Montana on World Star Hip Hop. You will find that video and also 700 of the most violently homophobic comments I've ever read in my life. Anyway, thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode and presumably a guest. You know who's supposed to be here today? We never mentioned.
Oh yeah,
because they got stuck in traffic, I think, right. Or maybe like trapped under a boulder. Is Jai Courtney?
That's right. That's right.
So Jai, we'll try and get you on the show next
Jai,
week.
Sorry for that.
So Jai Banks.
We've been trying to get Jai on this podcast for a while because we're big fans of his, but he's been so busy. You know, I think he was stuck in traffic, but we tried getting him a couple weeks ago, but he was too busy making the sequel.
Making Suicide Squad, Suicide Squad.
He was doing that. He was making another sequel to the RoboCop franchise called RoboCop Die Hard.
Jai Hard.
To RoboCop.
Live Free or Jai
RoboCop
Hard.
Jai.
And he's making a video about how he misled the American people about the popularity of a Central American sport that he tried to popularize in the 1980s. It's called Jai Lies.
Jai Lies. Hey, Aristotle, what's your favorite movie growing up? Toy Story? Jai's making a sequel to that. I hate to ruin your childhood.
Jai Story.
Jai Story.
Did you have something for that, or were you just hoping you?
No, I was just I was just letting him know that Jai makes sequels to all your favorite movies and ruins
them. If he did that?
He did. Terminator, Die Hard.
Terminator, Genesis.
Yeah, Terminator, Genesis. Deadpool, Jai Another Day.
Anyway, thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next time.
He's making are you a fan of Clint Eastwood?
I love Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, so do I. He's making a sequel called Jai Noon.
It's Jai Noon. Oh God.
But seriously though, I was reading Wikipedia and it looks like he's starring in a new Dustin Hoffman movie called
The Grad
Jai Love the Huckabees. Jai Love the Huckabees.
I was going with The Grad Jai.
The Grad Jai. Mid Jai Cowboy. Midnight Jai Boy. Midnight Cow Jai. Courtney.
Jai Courtney, please do the show so you can just...
Dude.
He's a really nice dude. I've met him before. Really nice dude. But he just, you know, he's just not very good at his job.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Here's the thing. Put me in action movies so I can get made fun of like Jai Courtney.
Here's the thing.
Now.
Jai Courtney is the...
He's doing cooler things than I'm doing.
Default Skyrim character model. Anyway...
Oh.
Jai, everyone.
Jai,
see you next time.
Jai.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.